Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, before we go too much further, let me tell you about my friends at eTax Breaks, eTaxBreaks.com. Man, I say it all the time. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but it's legit, though. What a cool job. Their job is to go in every day and just call their clients and say, found you some more money. That's what they do, and they're good at it. For 23 years of experience, they literally will assess your business, the way you run your business, who you hired, where'd you place your business, and they'll comb like the over 3,000 programs around the nation and see whether or not any of those things that you just do thinking it's common sense qualifies you for tax credits, tax incentives, for grants, all these things. And then they call you and say, found you some money. And that's, I mean, basically they only get paid if they find you money, which means there's no harm, no foul in checking it out. But at the same time, they find a lot of money. I'm talking in July, they found over $7 million for their clients in 1 month. 1 month. So folks, just check them out. They've got a special landing page online just for our Right Side listeners. eTaxBreaks.com/right side. eTaxBreaks.com/right side. Hey, So I was talking a minute ago about that situation with Alabama having developed that COVID tracing app. Let me just pull that story up. Let me get my stack of papers here going. This is for this segment. I got quite the stack. So I'm looking at a story that came off of AL.com. This was dated earlier this year. No, I take it back. It was late last year. I mean, I couldn't help but highlight like half the article. The app is called GuideSafe. GuideSafe. Alabama's GuideSafe Exposure Notification app is now part of a nationwide network to help warn users if they may have been exposed to someone who has tested positive for COVID-19. Yeah, okay. So the app uses Bluetooth signals, right, to determine when two cell phones have been in close proximity, like I said, 6 feet or so. And if they're longer than 15 minutes, meaning if you pass by each other in the hallway, no. But if you sit down at a table together or stand there and have a conversation, yes. If the owner of one of the devices later reports testing positive for the virus, the app will confirm that test result and deliver a notification to any phones that are logged on as having been in close contact with the individual who tested positive. So basically, everything you're doing is going into a database. That database is running an algorithm that is coalescing data. And if you report positive, it immediately begins surfing to see who else might have the app, who was standing in close proximity to you at any given time, and then notify all of them. And folks, here's the spot. 150,000, at the time of this article, 150,000 people in Alabama had downloaded Alabama's version of the app. I'm not one of them, by the way. The national network now includes exposure notification apps developed in Alabama, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Washington, D.C., Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, and Wyoming. Do you hear a plurality of conservative states in there? No. Why is Alabama joining with a majority of other liberal states to do something like this? I don't know. And the lady who helped put it all together, her name is Emily Hart, she said, this is actually the most private and secure option for contract tracing that exists. It's not private and secure if all your data is being held in a third party's servers. And then what do they do with it? Does the CDC have the option to procure that? Does anybody else have the option to procure that? Are you downloading the app and then being put into a database that also sells you magazine subscriptions? I don't know. It goes on to say in the same article, the app was developed by a partnership with UAB, the Department of Public Health, and Birmingham-based tech company MotionMobs, using a framework from Google and Apple to be compatible with Android and iPhone operating systems. Funding for the project was allocated by Alabama Governor Kay Ivey using Federal CARES Act money. So your surveillance state was in part brought to you by Governor Kay Ivey spending the federal relief dollars that were sent to our state. I don't think it was a wise use of the money. Now some will say, Phil, we're trying to track down where this illness is. Don't you care? People are getting sick. We can find out. We can do what? What do? You find out they stood next to somebody. Are you going to then tell them they can't come to class because UAB students are afraid? Are you going to tell them now they can't go to work? Are you going to tell, and they may never even test positive? Are you going to tell them that they have to go and sleep in a different bedroom at the house and quarantine themselves? What are you going to do? What right do you have to do it? Are you their doctor? No. But I guess the fact that they agreed voluntarily to download the app, maybe they opened themselves up for it. So, yeah. Brian Rivers, UAB Associate Vice President and Chief Technology Officer, said that in early versions, the COVID results had to be verified by a phone call. However, they have now developed a verification system through text messaging that Rivers says make it easier. So good. Now they got your phone number too. So they got your phone data. They've got your app. They've got your location. They've got your personal contacts. They've got your movements. And they've got your phone number. And that's wonderful. All in the name of security. Now, okay, I get it. If this was something, you know, if we were doing something, if the bubonic plague was upon us and people were falling out in the streets, bring out your dead. Bring out your dead. But right now we're not there. And this Omicron thing has gotten people freaking out. And I would say unnecessarily. I'm not a doctor, but I'm just reading what I'm reading. I'm just telling you, it ain't making sense. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I got more on that coming up. Article from the Baltimore Sun titled, "For Better or Worse, We Are Living in a Surveillance State." Be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And oh, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of that overly broad range that we have here at WVNN for AM and FM, just know that it doesn't matter. Wherever you go, we can go with you. If you're going on vacation for the holidays, if you're taking a trip, if you're traveling for work, doesn't matter. All you got to do is go to any device, including your smartphone, go online and go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live. And like I always say, wherever you is, there we is. And it's why we have listeners all over the place. We had a caller yesterday called in from Wetumpka. That's way outside of our range. Appreciate that. We a lot of times we have Jeff from Indiana calls in. We got our friend Jerome over in Rome. We got people in Texas, in Florida, in Mississippi, in Virginia, and they all basically just participate as part of the show. And thank you. I appreciate that. So, Copper, let me ask you a question. Have you ever gotten a traffic ticket from one of those traffic cameras like I talked about earlier?
No, I haven't.
Maddening. Absolutely maddening. Like, not even a little bit. Like you know what? If I did it, if a cop, I mean, I've not been pulled over a lot, but I've been pulled over before, and I got pulled over by one a couple years ago, driving through a small town area in Georgia, I believe, and a female police officer. She says, "Excuse me, sir, did you know you were going X and so speed?" I said, "I did when I saw you," and she went, "Well, that's an honest answer." So anyway, I'm good with that, but when you don't have the ability to even talk to somebody and you get a ticket in the mail 4 months later, that's maddening. So,
yeah.
There's my rant. I'm sorry.
No. Whatever time I see those little self-check speeds on the side and then this area is under, you know, surveillance, I'm like, well, where's the camera? Where's the system that's enforcing my behavior? I can't even see it.
It's there. It's hidden from you. But yeah, it's everywhere. So I'm looking at an article right now, continuing this theme. Number one of the triple dipper today is surveillance versus security. What's the balance? Surveillance versus security. Got an article that kind of piqued my attention. It's actually an op-ed written in the Baltimore Sun just a couple days ago. Baltimore Sun, a guy named Martin Cohen and Keith Tidman, two guys, wrote one, titled it, "For Better or Worse, We're Living in a Surveillance State." And they go on to talk about, you know, in the wake of all of the unrest we've had in the last year, in the wake of COVID, it's like we are literally giving away our security in order to have, giving away our privacy in order to have some measure of security. And they ask the question, how did we ever get here? They say that when George Orwell described Big Brother in his novel called 1984, the state surveillance gained a bad name. Well, yeah. But he goes on to talk about the fact that we're not just watched. Our activities are coded, stored. In many cases, they're put to someone else's use for security, for profit, for other gain. I mean, one of the biggest ones right now is clicks on social media that, truthfully, I'm just telling you, those become like a fountain of knowledge for, you know, online economics. They literally have a term for that called the surveillance economy. It's a surveillance economy, is what it's labeled today. Social media can profit from all the commodification of your personal data. And so literally the surveillance economy is they aggregate the kind of things you look at and they send you more ads that relate to the kinds of things you look at because they're tracking what you do. Now, that may not sound so bad because maybe you want to see ads that look like things you'd want to look at, right? Sort of like going to Pinterest. You go to Pinterest, and yes, by the way, men can have a Pinterest account. I've got a Pinterest account full of guns and cars and things for the house, tactical gear, all kinds of stuff. But as soon as you start looking at that, it sends you more pictures of other things to look at. Well, another article was written in a journal called Security Technology. Came out in June of this year by someone named Megan Gates. It's called The Rise of the Surveillance State. And combining this with another one that I read this morning that I didn't print out, but it was extremely interesting. It's amazing to me, China appears to have perfected, and I don't mean like a little bit, I mean like China appears to have perfected the surveillance state, and they're now exporting it around the world. And in vast quantities, let me just tell you. But one of the things that has happened in China is you can be surveilled on the street. In fact, they told the story of a young lady who is a U.S. citizen, but she's dual citizenship. She's a dual citizen of both China, Hong Kong, I believe, actually, and the United States. She's a student at a university in Washington, but she was back in China during a break. She was walking down the street, and a police officer tapped her on the shoulder and asked her to please come with him. And the story goes on about how she was led into what they called a police officer's kiosk. They have little kiosks all over the place filled with surveillance cameras or surveillance monitors. She saw a picture of herself on the screen in the middle of the crowd. Everybody had a green square around their face. She had a yellow square around her face. Her face had been identified as being similar to one of someone who was considered to be some form of an extremist. And so she was detained for what they called pre-criminal behavior. Did you get that? Pre-criminal behavior. There's nothing she had done. There was no probable cause. There was a surveillance camera that saw her face, misidentified her. She was taken in and detained on the possibility of pre-criminal behavior. Folks, that's when it gets way, way out of hand. And so this particular article in Security Technology talks about the fact that China now has a vast, vast surveillance infrastructure made up of video systems, internet monitoring, tracking, and more. And it's used especially in one of their provinces called the Xinjiang region to monitor 13 million of their Turkic Muslims, the Uyghurs, through mobile apps and biometric data and collection and artificial intelligence and all of it. It's unreal what they're doing. But in as late as 2019, an organization called the Wilson Center found that China had exported surveillance technology platforms for use in policing and public safety to more than 80 countries around the world. So what China's doing is being exported. You may say, well, Phil, it's just the tools they're using. It doesn't mean they're using them the same way. Okay, that's great. But a country that develops the technology has the ability to access the technology, I guarantee you. And when China sets up your security network, what do you think is going to happen when one day they want to access it? I'm sure they can remotely. They have different places in the article here where they talk about things like Human Rights Watch has been really watching the way they've been handling Uyghurs. And there's a thing called the Strike Hard campaign in the Chinese government where they literally use tracing, like what I just talked about earlier with that app from UAB. They use tracing to be able to track Uyghur movements and then subject them to mass arbitrary detentions, forced political indoctrination, and restrictions on their movement and religious oppression. Now, yes, that's China. We're the United States. Do we have more protections here? Yes, we do. But are we allowing those protections to be kind of withered a bit? Yes, we are. We really are. Phil, why would you say such a thing? Well, because I'm looking at other stories that tell me these things. Like, for instance, liberals love contract tracing right now. Liberals, and apparently Governor Ivey, really love apps that will track your movements, unless it doesn't suit their agenda. Here's an article from Salon. Did I go to Salon? I went to Salon.com. Daggone, Phil. Well, I did. Sometimes you got to know what the other side's saying. But I went to Salon.com. This is from November 8th of this year, just a few weeks ago. And the title of it is Advocates Challenge the CDC's New Effort to Track HIV. Okay, it's not COVID, but they're doing tracing and tracking similar to what we're talking about with COVID. And so in this particular situation, there's a tool, an app, that a researcher was real excited about that literally identifies what they call clusters. In public health, apparently they locate where there have been small outbreaks. They call them clusters, and where they see HIV spreading. Well, he was speaking at a recent event at a hotel ballroom, and an activist took the stage and began chanting and saying, "You can't do this without us." And they began to say that we didn't sign up for this, we didn't ask for this, because they were all afraid that the police state, in their words, was going to begin descending upon the gay community because they would track where the HIV clusters were. Well, no, I don't think they would, per se. But it's interesting to me that on a more liberal standpoint, they don't want anybody in their business unless it also has to do with our business. So it's okay when it's COVID. It's not okay when it's HIV, apparently. And does that not remind some of you of when some of you that are older like me, when HIV first came out in like in the 80s and nobody really understood it. How does this work and what's going to happen? And is it contagious? And can we get it just by, you know, standing next to somebody? What happens? Is it airborne? We don't know. And it was scary. All right. And there was all that. But did they lock down schools? No. Did they shut down businesses and declare certain people to be essential and non-essential? No. Did they require you to be masked and force vaccinations? Oh, no. And now, as we are these many years later, they've got tracking apps. And the gay community activists, not all of them, but the gay community activists in this case are saying they don't want it. Well, that's curiously unique, isn't it? That they don't want it. But yet, they're going to be good with a COVID tracing app. Well, did you know, by the way, that the CDC is expanding what it calls its surveillance at four major U.S. airports? The CDC. Now, let me go ahead and just caveat a little bit by saying that surveillance in the CDC parlance does not necessarily mean cameras, all right? Surveillance means grabbing data and coalescing the data to see what's happening in a certain place. However, it's also the same CDC that thought that it could tell you that you didn't have to pay rent anymore and landlords were going out of business and going bankrupt. It's also the CDC that is run by Rochelle Walensky, who has shown herself to be a big government individual who does not have a care in the world, apparently, about personal freedoms. When we get back from this break that we're about to take, I'll tell you about the CDC expanding its surveillance at major U.S. airports and what that might mean for travel. You go anywhere over the holidays? You going to be surveilled? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. So, listen, thanks to Jim, by the way. Was it Jim? I think Jim sent me the email. Let me just double check, make sure I got my facts right. Yeah, Jim sent me an email just a little while ago. Interesting. Germany has announced a national lockdown for the unvaccinated. There you go. The dateline was today, actually. Dateline today, Germany, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, has announced a national lockdown for the unvaccinated. Well, how do they know if you're unvaccinated? Because they are gathering your data. That's why. So the CDC in the United States, though, is expanding its surveillance at four major U.S. airports to look for this new Omicron variant. Now I got to tell you, Omicron, what the heck? Because the folks who discovered it in South Africa are literally saying on the news, in quotes, but basically, to paraphrase slightly, what in the world? We did not see this reaction coming. This, nobody's hurting. In fact, part of the travel ban from the Biden administration is for Zimbabwe, where they have no recorded cases of Omicron. There's a headline on Fox right now, even Fox News. I'm looking at it, and it was, where'd it go? Oh, dadgummit, I just lost my spot. But it was literally talking about the fact that, oh, Lord, they found it. They found one. We have a case. We have a case in the United States. We have a case. Do you know how many hundreds of millions of people we have in this country? We have a case. Now, I get it. I understand it. It can be contagious. You want to catch it early. I get that. But to what end? Well, the Biden administration has imposed travel restrictions from 8 South African countries, including South Africa itself. Omicron first reported by South African health authorities, but Delta Airlines, with headquarters and major operations in Atlanta, said it plans to continue its Atlanta to Johannesburg flights. However, there is a new effort by the CDC, an expansion, meaning it's already there, an expansion of a biosurveillance program first launched back in September that provided testing for travelers arriving from India. Biden's expected to announce today that foreign travelers who come to the United States must show proof of a 24-hour, no later than a 24-hour negative test for COVID before they get on the plane to come to the United States. Oh, boy. But the CDC is using a company called XpressCheck. XpressCheck locations will be open from 8 to 2 p.m. I went to their website. I did. That's what I do. And you go to XpressCheck, and you have to literally schedule your appointment, and then you go through all these steps, and you schedule your appointment. You fill out your registration forms. You arrive no more than 5 minutes before your appointment time, and you view your test results on our private portal, it says, of which the results will then be uploaded into their major portal. I'm just telling you, they've got your data. It's not that private. But in Canada right now, I'm looking at a story from the Canadian Press. In Canada right now, aside from what I just told you about in Germany, the Canadian Press reports that as of 2 days ago, Ottawa has imposed travel restrictions due to concerns of the new COVID-19 variant. Good gosh. I mean, the possibilities versus the realities, right? So the stringent new requirement comes into effect as Canada reacts to the emergence of the new highly mutated Omicron variant. You literally are not allowed to get on certain modes of transportation unless you can show proof of vaccination. Not enough to show them a negative COVID-19 test. No. You got to show proof of vaccination. Okay. Well, that's interesting. But I can't help but note that as I'm looking at another article sitting here in front of me, because I got a ton of backup work for today. The sourcing on today's show just kept going. But I've got a ton here on post-travel recommendations from the CDC. Okay, so in Canada, you can't get on. Now, you can get on a commuter train, by the way, because commuter trains are apparently contagion-free. So if you're commuting to work, you can get on the commuter train. But if you're taking a train across country for leisure travel or getting on a plane or flying in, you have to show proof of vaccination. Oh, okay. That makes great sense. It's sort of like you can't walk through the restaurant without a mask on, but you can sit there and eat in the room without your mask on. Okay. But yet, one of the things that's happening here, CDC is recommending that vaccinated travelers still get tested when they arrive in the United States. How do you do this? How do they come up with this stuff? Well, I could go on and on. Let me just end with this one. I'll throw the rest of them on the floor and end with this one. It came from Canada again. And it literally shows that just a few years ago, in Canada, they were debating a bill before COVID. They were debating a bill. Where is it? Allegedly, it was an anti-terrorism bill. It was called C-51, a Canadian Bill 51. Public Safety Minister Steve Blaney was testifying that he had to have it. And his quote was, "I always said there is no liberty without security, and now I'm convinced there is no prosperity without security." He needed this bill to allow him to shut down websites, to begin looking for means to prove pre-criminalization against citizens, and to make sure that Canada's taxpayer information services could provide information to law enforcement and they could begin to share your data and your information without a warrant. Folks, we are living in a surveillance world, deeply into it. Some countries more so than others. And praise God, we have a constitution here, a constitution that gives you more of a firewall. But if you don't have elected leaders who are willing to stand by that constitution and do things like in Canada when they're debating the passage of C-51 5 years ago, or when Governor Ivey uses your taxpayer dollars to build a tracing app that tells everybody where you've been and what you're doing and who you've been with. I'm just telling you, folks, if you give away all your security because of the possibilities, you sacrifice your realities. And it's a dangerous situation to be in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back after this.